For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you know why 2020 was harder? It had to be because you thought when you lost your trip to Paris, or when you lost your the new car you're going to buy, or when you lost that vacation, or when you lost that Disney World pass you had, that you'd lost your fun.
Yeah.
And that's not true. Yeah. Fun doesn't have to be big and expensive.
Yo, what's going on, fam? It's your boy, Anthony O'Neill. I am in the studio today, right here at the table, and I'm really pumped. I'm going through this intro so quick because one of my favorite people in the world is in the studio. And y'all know me. I'm just crazy like this. Not only is she one of my favorite people, but she's one of my top, like, two white people.
Oh,
I'm just
lot.
Being so real. Her and Rachel love them dearly, you know? And you all know her. I did her podcast last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I'm trying to tell y'all, last year. Y'all help me welcome to the table my sister from another good-looking mother, Annie Downs. What's up, sis?
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yo, man, listen. The world doesn't know. Well, the world do know, because when I did your podcast,
yep.
The day you did the podcast, instantly 2,000-3,000 followers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. So many people. And I was like, this is weird.
Well, right. Well, the fun thing about my podcast listeners is when they fall in love with someone, they really mean it.
Yes.
So they buy your book. They
yes.
follow you. They say things to you.
Yes.
And I see them all, because they'll go, I saw you on, I heard yes. you on Annie F. Downs'
yes.
podcast. And I'll see like, oh.
Yeah.
Poor man. He's just got loaded with the friends. But they love you.
Yo.
You just had such, you're so wise. And
nah.
And people love being around wisdom.
Well, you know, and I think you and I are just two real people.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And we had a real authentic conversation on your
mm-hmm.
podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely say you were the first podcast, I was saying like 2 years, I never felt that comfortable.
Oh, thank you.
You know, just really coming on there and just having a real honest conversation.
Mm-hmm,
you didn't even allow my own publicist to come into the room.
I didn't, no.
You know? And I know
they
my
were in
publicist,
the building.
She was in the building. She's in the building now.
That's right.
You know, Heidi was probably sweating like, oh, Lord, what are they going to talk about? When we got out, okay, what happened? I mean, every question, every answer.
Oh, sorry, Heidi.
But I mean, but I love that. And I wanted to get you on my show sooner. But then when you told me you was writing a book, I said,
yeah.
yo, let's just wait.
Yeah.
Let's save the
Thank
first
you.
Time from when you're writing a book so we can help push it. Because you helped
you're
me
kind.
Sell a lot of books. And you helped me get a lot of followers.
Wow.
So I want to tell you thank you on my show. But
wow, my pleasure.
One of the things, before we get into your book, that
yeah.
sounds like fun. Y'all, we're going to talk about this. And listen, this book is heavy, but it's good. I love it. But before we get there, let's talk about how are you with
okay.
everything that's been going on throughout last year.
Yeah.
Like, where was your head with everything with the whole racial stuff
mm-hmm.
and family? Like, where were you at last year?
I mean, it just feels like we had this year-long experiment
mm-hmm.
about being a human.
Yeah.
What is it like to be a human when a lot of your vices are taken away?
Ooh.
When a lot of the things that we traditionally use to protect ourselves
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And to enclose ourselves
yeah.
were gone. And when a lot of people who have really strong feelings had a lot of space to say them.
Yeah.
And a lot of time to say them. And man, it just was, I feel like it was a year of learning. I feel like it was a year of sadness. I mean,
yeah.
I as we've talked about a lot before, I'm not married yet, don't
yeah.
have kids yet. I live alone. And so
yeah.
being in lockdown was very lonely for
yeah.
me, even
yeah.
though the internet's great.
Yeah.
It just, I feel like when people would ask me, they'd say, how are you? And I'd say, work is so fun and my life is kind of lonely.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I think one of the problems that we have in culture is when we stop giving each other permission to say what we really feel, to say, you don't have to fix that I'm lonely, but I'm going to say out loud that I'm lonely.
Right.
And you don't have to fix that I'm sad, but I'm going to say out loud that I'm sad. And
yeah.
it's okay to say, I'm having so much fun and I feel lonely.
Yeah.
Both can be true. And so I feel like it was a year where I got to practice what I preach of
yeah.
saying, I can hold both.
Yeah.
I can hold joy and sorrow. I can hold suffering and excitement. I can laugh and I can cry. And both of those are true.
Yeah. You know, one of the things you said on the singles panel.
Yeah.
You was on the singles panel, killed it. And I asked a question, and you challenged me. This is one thing, that's why I love you.
Thank you. You
just keep it real. I was like, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, what was the question? Do you remember the question? On a scale of 1 to 10.
How satisfied are you
in your singleness?
Yeah.
And you're the first person. Everyone was like, oh, I'm 10. I'm a 9.
Oh, they were all so sweet. I feel great.
I got joy. I got happiness. God is good. Me and the Annie was like, I'm like a 2.
I'm still sitting at a 2.
But you made it so clear because you was like, now, wait a minute. Just because I say I'm at a 2 doesn't mean I'm unhealthy.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't mean that I'm bad. Like, mm-hmm. And so with you being successful, mm-hmm. a lot of people know you. You know, you're wealthy. You're doing all these things. But, hey, I still am lonely.
Yeah.
I still do desire that companionship. Mm-hmm. When you are talking to your single friends out there, what are some things that you are incorporating or you think that they should be incorporating with being honest, but how do we make sure that too, or that being lonely, being mm-hmm. sad doesn't turn into something that's unhealthy?
Right. I mean, I think the first thing is we all just need to give our friends a lot more permission to want things.
Oof.
We just kind of have, it's considered very mature to not be in want.
Yeah.
And to only, and to be satisfied with what you have. And so someone says, are you okay that y'all don't have kids yet to a married couple?
Yeah.
They go, yeah, we want kids, but we are so grateful for how we get to teach the 3-year-old Sunday school class. And they may really believe that and feel that. But the other thing is, when are we going to let people who are healthy and healthy, wealthy, and wise also say that they want?
Mm. Yep.
And so I think one of the things I say a lot to my single people is, do your people know?
Yeah.
Do people know what you want?
Wow.
Because when I get to heaven, I do not want the Lord to say, had you only told someone. Right? I had all this agency around you ready to be in community with you and help you get what you want, and you wouldn't tell.
Come on.
Whether it's what you want financially or what you want in a house or what you want in a spouse or what you want with your physical health.
Yeah.
If nobody knows, no one can help you. And so I say a lot to my single friends, like, be okay wanting. Say what you want.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Annie shouldn't have said that, bro.
Uh-oh. What'd I do?
I'm about to call her out now, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So what do you want in a man then?
So what do I want? Well, for starters, I want a man. I am ready for a partner.
She said, I want a man.
Yeah.
She was clear.
Yeah. I'm looking for a man who enjoys who he is.
Okay.
He's confident. Okay. I think physical attraction grows pretty rapidly when men are confident. Like, I can look at you the first time and go, like, you're cute. Yeah, you're fine. And then 3 conversations in, when I know that you like your life and you've worked hard at your life.
For real.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting thing about how women see men is that for me and for my friends, there isn't automatically friend zone, non-friend zone.
Yeah.
There's, okay. Let me get to know him. And men get more. There's a friend of mine, and I say this to him all the time because we won't ever date. I keep saying, if you knew what we knew about how great you were, the girls would be lining up.
Ooh.
But you just don't know what I know. Ooh. So let me tell you again what I know and what the rest of us see in you, because if you believed it, you couldn't keep them away.
Ooh.
Right? And so I'd like a guy who is confident or working towards it.
Okay.
I've done the work towards it. I'm continuing to do the work towards it.
Yeah.
Loves Jesus.
Yeah.
Not in debt. Yeah. Similar to your list.
I'm not in debt?
Yeah, I'm not in debt. I don't need, I don't need someone who has debt. Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm like, if he says, here's the one thing I've bought and I'm paying it off, fine. Or if he, but I'm also 40, right? So I don't,
Annie, you're 40?
Yeah. I just turned 40.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
How did I not know this?
I don't know. Happy birthday to me.
When did you turn 40?
July of 2020.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, she's 40, y'all.
Right, so I'm also not going to date a guy who's finishing college who has college debt. I think that's a whole...
Okay, what's the youngest you would date?
I probably am okay. Well, part of it is... Well, I'm probably okay in the mid-30s. The youngest I have dated of recent is 34.
Okay.
I had about 3 36s so in a row. And I'm like, the class of 1984, I'm not interested in. If you were born in 84, we don't have a good track record. Is that you?
Oh, y'all, listen.
Was he born in 84?
That's the show.
No.
That's the show. Cut!
No, wait, were you really?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
No.
You're the difference. You're
no. I'm just messing with you.
I had 3 1984s in a row, and I was like, whoa, this is not my year. I need to pick a different year.
Okay.
So that, I mean, I just would like a man who has found Jesus and found himself and love them both.
So I have a lot of single ladies that are, that follow me.
Yeah.
You know, the average single lady that follows me is about in between 33 and 36 years old.
Yeah.
Educated, successful, you know, like yourself. And so I want to challenge you all right now. This is so fun right now. I'm curious. Give me the top three things you're looking for in a man. If you're a single
great
woman,
question.
Put in the comments below. If you're listening to this on a podcast, hit me up on social media and let me know what are the top three things you're looking for in a man.
And then are you going to start pairing them up with men, you know?
No, but I just think the men who are following me are going to be like, hey, I got that. I got that. I got that. Hey, how you doing?
Yes, that's right.
I don't see nothing wrong with people connecting on social media.
I don't either. I think it's such a great, I think it's a great tool.
Yeah.
You know, for my life is very public. Not all of my life. You know this. You know parts of my life.
Absolutely.
As my friend that the public doesn't know. But there's a lot of my life there's public.
Yeah.
And so I think it is really helpful for a man to know what he's getting.
Yeah.
And social media kind of helps you go like, oh, look, this guy cares about these four things.
Absolutely.
And I mean, there have been times where I've seen men online and I've gone, very attractive, very confident.
Yeah.
He wants to move overseas for the rest of his life. That he's probably not my match. I'll say hi or I'll do whatever. But then I go, hey, there's a better woman for you, actually.
Yes.
Not even a different one, a better one.
Yeah.
And so I think that helps having social media to do that.
One last thing, and we got to talk about your book.
Okay, but this is fun, too. I love talking about dating stuff with you.
The one last thing. Now, when you say you will not marry, I mean, you don't want a man with debt. You know what I'm saying? I'm right there with you. But I got to ask you why. Like, what's like the general... Because the people listening to you right now are like, yo, but Annie, like, you good.
I was about
you
to
straight.
Call you.
Right. But, like, why does that play a huge role in your decision?
I think there's a couple of things I've learned about debt-free people.
Okay.
Debt-free people are very generous.
Yes.
Because they can be.
Yes.
They aren't tied to something else.
Yes.
And debt-free people kind of have a track record of wisdom.
Yes.
And those two things matter to me. Now, there are exceptions. There is a bell curve. There are exceptions to every rule. There could be someone who is in a surprise amount of debt that is incredibly generous and incredibly wise, but something happened, a tragedy happened or something. That's different.
Yeah.
But in general, I have found that people who, when I meet a man and people say it pretty, this is probably true in your dating life too. People are pretty forward about financial things pretty early.
Absolutely.
And not like, here's my bank statement, but like, so paid off my car.
Right.
I haven't paid off my house, but I paid off my car and everything else. And I have this little bit of college debt left over and that's it.
Yes.
And you kind of go, okay, I really, when I am gone, I want people to remember I was generous with my friendship, with my money. I want to do secret things all the time that make it capable. One of the things I love being is a bridge.
Yes.
Like, that's one of my favorite things about you coming on my podcast is I was a bridge for my friends to you.
Yes.
I love being a bridge. Can I be a financial bridge for a nonprofit to do something they want to do?
Yes.
They don't need to name a building after me. They can. I don't care. But they don't need to name a building after me. But I made a way for them to do a thing.
Right.
That's what I want to do with my life. And so a man without debt is attractive to me because we get to double the impact we make for God's kingdom. And I'm looking for that, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Annie F. Downs. You heard her say it right here. If you are debt-free, you look good.
Yeah. And if you're not but can explain it, I'm all ears.
Oh, there you go. I like it.
All ears.
Switching gears.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, man, you and I can talk for a whole hour.
Yeah.
But I had the opportunity to read your book.
Thank you. That's kind of you.
A while ago before it came out. And I love it. And the title of your book is That Sounds Fun, The Joys of Being an Amateur, The Power of Falling in Love, and Why You Need a Hobby.
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Well, for starters, I accidentally became the expert on fun.
Yes.
Because my podcast is called That Sounds Fun, and it's been around since 2014. Suddenly, amongst our friend group of authors and speakers and athletes and podcasters, I was the fun one.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to be. You know what else, Anthony? I thought everyone thought about fun as much as I do. Like, I thought we all thought about this much.
Yeah.
And the process I went through is I went through a season of, like, am I immature because I'm thinking about fun all the time?
Ooh.
And am I like, do I need to grow up?
Ooh.
And then as God did the work in me with a counselor mentors and myself doing the work, I started to go like, no, he made me this way. How come?
Yeah.
And the how come is that we need people in our culture that remind us that fun is a survival technique.
Yeah.
Fun is actually really required.
Yeah.
And what happens to me at airports and at church and at restaurants is people walk up and they go, hey, Annie, can I tell you what I did for fun?
Wow.
And I'm always like, yeah, tell me. And they expect me to have a scale and I place them on the scale. And instead I go, that sounds really fun. That does sound fun. You're right. You did it. And so when I accidentally became the expert, I thought, what if, how could this world be different if I actually ran in this lane instead of running from this lane?
Ooh.
Right? Because I wanted to run from this lane because I wanted to be the serious Christian teacher.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted to be the woman everyone respected. And they do respect me.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to be the, like, serious preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went like, there's a lot of those.
Right.
What if I ran in this lane?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because I get to talk to our friends about, like, Do you know why 2020 was harder? It had to be because you thought when you lost your trip to Paris or when you lost your the new car you're going to buy or when you lost that vacation or when you lost that Disney World pass you had that you lost your fun.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
Yeah.
Fun doesn't have to be big and expensive.
Yeah.
And so that's why this became the right thing.
Yeah.
And you know how book writing goes.
Yes.
You finish it long before it comes out.
Absolutely.
And as we were editing, we were editing in the middle of 2020 when the world was the world.
Yes.
And I was like, we got to change some of this.
Ooh.
And I was like, we got to add a chapter. I was like, the world is not the same as when I started this book.
Exactly.
But my goodness, we will do as much as we can to tell the truth of what we've lived up until it comes out.
One of the things I love about the book, you talk about the joys of being an amateur. And people hear the word amateur, they feel as if they are belittled a little bit or they're below someone.
Mm-hmm. Amateur hour.
Yeah. Talk about that. Like, why, how do you, like, what's so joyful about being a beginner, an amateur?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the conversation we were just having, talking about dating, we've both dated for a long time of our lives, but I'm not a professional at it. And I'm not a professional at talking about it because I don't talk about it a lot. But we lose a lot of fun and a lot of opportunity to be vulnerable when we won't say things without knowing everything. The world's just kind of taught us, like, if you're going to talk publicly about something, you better know everything about it. Mm. If you're going to talk about COVID, you better have all the right answers. Yep. If you're going to talk about race relations, you better have all the right answers. If you're going to talk about women in leadership, you better have all the right answers. And if you don't, we will cancel you.
Yep.
And if you don't, we don't respect you throughout your history. We'll go back to the start and we'll say the start isn't even worth it because of who you are today. And I think we've lost some fun. There's some simplicity of going like, hey, Anthony, you and I do this really well. You're very generous to me because I don't know everything about how to talk about race by any stretch. I am a learner.
Yeah.
But you let me be an amateur in that conversation and
Absolutely.
So I can grow.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's we got to go back to that. There is joy in picking up a hobby for the first time. There's joy in trying something new at the gym. We're gym people.
Yeah, yeah.
There's joy in going like, I've never done this kind of lift with these kind of weights. I switched to bands this weekend instead of free weights, and my wings are so sore, I can barely, like, get my shirt on. But it's just because I switched one thing. I'd never done it before. I was an amateur.
Yes.
And it paid off.
You know what? Last year, Nate Robinson fought, who did he fight?
Jake Paul.
Basketball player.
How about it?
You know what I'm saying? And
YouTube
think about
guy
it.
Versus basketball player.
Exactly. Two amateurs.
Yes.
And the world, and we all know, Nate lost.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Those Nate jokes.
That's what I'm saying.
Nate.
But think about it, though. It's like he pursued something that he wanted to try.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't fearful. He wasn't an expert with it.
Right.
He was like, y'all want to go try it.
And he got in the ring.
And to me, that's the win.
That's it. I agree with you.
Not winning the fight. That wasn't a win. No. The fact that you worked out. You got strong. You went to lessons and you trained. And you got in the ring in front of millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you got knocked out. But the win was you tried something.
Yes, that's right.
You became an amateur.
How many things do we not try because we're scared we don't know how to do it? If you walk into, when's the last time you, my friend Anthony, walked into a craft store? Probably a long time.
I never have.
Yeah. Can we make that video? Can we just the two of us go and just, I just follow him through
Is Hobby Lobby a craft store? Yeah, I walked into Hobby Lobby with my mom, though. It wasn't for me.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, that place is full of hobbies you could try if you wanted to. Right? Dick's Sporting Goods is full of hobbies we can try.
I'd do that.
Right.
I'd do Dick's Sporting Goods.
Me too. Yeah. And so then you go like, the fun of trying that. Our culture has taught us the fun is winning, not the fun in trying. And we've got to invite others and ourselves back to trying.
So, you know, I did, it was with Dave. First time here. This is my show, so I can say this. We went to Dave's Lake House.
Yes.
And, you know, Dave and Rachel and them love to, you know, water ski.
Yeah, as I say, skiing.
I said, man, black people don't get on water.
Uh-huh.
Mm-mm, no, we don't do that. We don't, no. And they was like, why everything gotta be about race? I said, it ain't about race. That's a fact. We don't get out on water and try and walk on water. That's Jesus' job. You know what I'm saying? And they was like, you need to try it. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, I don't want to. And I literally was scared.
Yeah.
Chris Hogan was there.
Yeah.
He ain't tried.
I was about to say, he's black too. He doesn't do it.
He didn't do it.
No.
No. I get in the water. Now I love it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do it, you know, on my own. But every time I go back out with Dave and just chill out with our team and stuff, I'm the first person in.
Yeah.
And I do. And I learned something. And at first, I was a little scared because I'm like, I'm not good at that because I've never tried it. And I didn't want to be an amateur. And I didn't want people looking at me and staring at me and talking about me. Because if I failed, I hear that forever. But you know what? Because I was willing to have fun.
Yes.
And because I was willing to find a joy in being an amateur, I'm still an amateur, but I'm having fun doing it.
Yes. And it just, there's vulnerability and fun. People don't think about this, but when you're on a roller coaster with someone, pretend you're going on a first date at an amusement park.
Yeah.
A roller coaster is a vulnerable thing to do with someone because you're both screaming and laughing.
Oh, I would have so much fun.
It doesn't feel vulnerable, but it is. And then you don't think about it. You're sitting there going like, am I allowed to scream as loud as I want to scream? Am I allowed to laugh as hard as I want to laugh?
Yeah.
Because when you are having fun, it actually is a connecting thing,
which is so
why we got to make space for hobbies again, because we've lost this time and this space and this openness that is allowed for connection when we stopped having hobbies.
Listen, man, listen. Y'all need to get this book, because not just because it's a dope book, but because Annie's going to give you some solid wisdom and some solid practical things that you can do to have more fun, to become an entrepreneur, and the power of falling in love. Boy, we can talk about that all day long.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait to actually fall in love. But you know what, though? I don't think love is a feeling when it comes to human beings.
Oh, keep going.
I think love is a choice.
Yeah. Does it start with a feeling, or is it always a choice?
It depends on what kind of love we're talking about.
I'm about to flip the show on him. I'm about to make it an enemy show.
He chose to love you and I.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't fall into loving us. It wasn't a feeling. He was like, no, I love my sons and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a man, when it comes to my future spouse, my responsibility is to love her the way Christ loved the church. And he made a choice to love. He made a choice to die for my sins. So I got to make a choice to love her enough to die to my flesh for the betterment of us two moving forward.
Yeah.
And so it's like, when I say, like, I'm not saying love is, there are no feelings when it comes to love, but I think when it comes to the human being side of things, like spouse side of things, is more of a choice and feelings, but more choice in my opinion.
Yeah, I can hear that. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Yeah, let's go. I think the feelings you experience that lead you toward thinking I love someone are the feelings that say, I can imagine at a point I'm going to be willing to serve them more than I'm serving myself.
Mm.
And that to me, I mean, the people that I love are the people that I do things for, I don't do for anybody else.
Right, right.
And so then you go like, oh, I reached a point at some point in my feelings to make this a choice and call it love.
I like it.
And so I think you're right. I was curious what you thought about the feelings that happened before. Falling in love is a little bit you fall into lots of stuff. When you're attracted to someone, you can do some falling. But the love part does feel like a choice.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm tracking with you on that part. Before we go, what are three things? When they pick up this book, give me like three things my tribe will walk away with.
Yeah. I mean, for starters, I hope you want to have a new hobby.
There you go.
I hope you pursue a new hobby that is that you don't have to be a professional at.
Yes.
And that you don't have to make money doing. Yes. That just makes space.
Yeah.
I hope that you think you're picking up a book about release and fun, and I hope you run into Jesus.
Woo!
I hope you recognize that he is a part of all of it. And I think third, I hope that when you read this, if you've never read a book with me before, I hope you feel like you make a friend.
Yes.
I hope that. And so that's my hope, is that they'll walk away with a new friend in me.
Yeah.
They'll walk away with a desire for a hobby.
Yes.
And a new view on Jesus.
Yo, so that's dope. All right. So, and I think one last thing that you covered in this book that I love was how to really, really experience loss.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have experienced loss, especially from the year 2020, mm-hmm. from family members to loved ones to friends to even not necessarily death, but even like they lost friends, you know, and just outgrew them.
Yes.
And I think in this book, you really talk about how you experienced loss, how it impacted you. And I was like, whoa, she's getting very transparent. But then how you found joy and freedom from that as well.
Yeah.
So I'm listen to me clearly. Listen to me. If you listen to me on podcasts, if you're watching this on YouTube, there's only two books I've promoted. Actually, three books I've promoted on this show. Brian Bullock's book, Rachel Cruz's book, and then now my sister's book, NEF Downs. I'm very particular about who I promote because if I don't like the book, I ain't promoting it to y'all. Okay, because I want y'all to get stuff. You guys know me. I want you to read at least one or two books a month. And so I want you to purchase this book, and we have a special deal. Like, if you purchase it now with your pre-sale.
So it doesn't actually come out till February 2nd. But if you go ahead and pre-order it now from anywhere you want to, local bookstore, you can pre-order it from Amazon, any of the big places. And you go to thatsoundsfunbook.com, and you can go ahead and get the audiobook right now.
Wait.
And start listening
right
now.
So if they purchase this right now.
Yep.
They can start listening to you right now.
Yes, how scary is that as an author?
I was about to ask that question. Did you do the audio?
Yeah, it's me. Ooh. I cried twice.
You cried twice?
Yes, I cried
twice. Did you leave the crying on the audio?
Yes, they just left it. It's me going like, just twice, just like having moments. Yeah.
That's gonna be so good.
And then we did three bonus podcast episodes on the audiobook at the end. Because that's so many of our friends are audio people. Yeah. These people with us right now are audio people.
Yes.
And so we were like, let's give them a good audiobook experience. So one of my friends scored the whole thing and gave us all new music for it. And then we have three podcast interviews at the end with people from the book.
Listen, we're going to drop a couple of links where you can get the book, Amazon, maybe a local bookstore. And then also thatsoundsfunbook.com. So that way you can purchase it and listen to Annie read this to you. But also, I'm going to drop a link to her podcast. I am an avid listener of her podcast. She has an amazing group of people, and I mean this, and I'm going to say it right here on my show, from white to black, from conservatives to liberals to, all kinds of people, and I love seeing that.
Me too.
I think that was a mission of yours, like, 2 years ago, to be diverse in your audience, and I just have to say you've done a great job
at that.
In the description below, we're going to link to her podcast, to thatsoundsfunbook.com, and even to her Instagram, y'all.
Thanks.
She's an amazing person, so check her out and follow her. I give y'all permission.
She's been vetted.
Right. She's been vetted. She's been tried, you know, and the fruit of her spirit, it has been proven that she has a good heart. And I promise you, when you get done listening to me, go listen to Annie, but you gotta listen to me first.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Annie. That's very kind.
Annie, I love you. We gotta do this again.
I love you too, friend. Yeah.
You know,
anytime.
You gotta come on at least twice a year. We gotta make that happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Nah, but next time I got to come back on your show.
That's my next ask in front of all these people is going to be, will you come back to my show?
Yeah, because when I come back to your show, we just can't bring Heidi this time.
No.
You know, Heidi gonna
do you know we got a new setup like yours where people can listen while we're recording?
Are you serious?
So now it'll be all right, Heidi. It'll be all right. You'll hear it all. It won't be secretive anymore.
Let me stop playing. My publicist is the best in the world.
Yeah.
And she does her job. She makes sure I don't be playing around. you know, I love her. I love her. But she
well,
just...
Well, let me also say, while we're all here,
what'd you want to say?
You're great. You're great at a lot of things. Yes. And I just want, I want people to know that being your actual friend is as great as what they're seeing here. That you are who you say you are. And that does not happen everywhere. And you know that. We've met enough people. That doesn't happen everywhere. And so I will continue. Stop it. I'm being for real. Why won't he just let me be real about this?
Because I ain't pay you for this, man.
Thank you for being a good friend and a genuine friend. I'm grateful.
No, I appreciate you, man. How you welcomed me into your home, I was like, yeah. This is the type of young lady I want to be connected to.
Yeah.
So real talk.
We're stuck with each other now.
Annie F. Downs, you guys, right here on the table. And listen, man, go get a book. That's all I'm going to say. Peace out. See y'all next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.